Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Amazing, the coverage for the Eagles. They must have 100 media people, maybe 200 on some days, swarming over there for every nibble. Mike Sielski is a great columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, philly.com. He broke down the study that reaffirms the dangers of the game and our participation in this, and I have several questions for him and for you. Now, Mike does say the brains that were looked at, 202 football players donated. Oh, I'm sorry. They have the brains still there of 202 football players, but the football players they looked at, the numbers were astounding. Now, these are football players whose family members thought, well, maybe this was an issue. I'm writing my weekly column saying, you watch prediction OJ. His defenders will say they already are starting to say that. But the numbers are stunning. So, you know, one of the big questions is, how do we still watch this stuff? I'm looking for people to may say, I'm not watching as much. And would you let your kids play at the high school level? The brains donate it. Well, of 53 players who had played in college but not the NFL, 48 of them had CTE. But even at the high school level, smaller sample, they never played college or pro, the number was shockingly high. Let's go to Mike Sielski here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mike, welcome back. Are you over at training camp today?
I am actually on my way there now, Dom.
Well, you know, the tenor of your column, and again, you put it in great context here, and you put a face on it, the Penn State quarterback who's playing in the NFL. It doesn't seem, though, like NFL players are knowing about that study and the severity of this. The numbers were surprising to me, and I follow this stuff really closely.
Yeah, I think these guys are learning more and more as they go, and I think they're in their minds, they're making a cost-benefit analysis. They're saying to themselves, okay, there is this risk. How great a risk is it, and how much do I stand to gain in the near future and even the here and now if I continue to play? I mean, there have been isolated cases where players who would be regarded as being in the prime of their careers have stepped away from football and retired. There was a pretty famous one a couple of years ago, a kid named Chris Borland, who had played for the 49ers, retired at age 24 because of he had had concussions and decided, you know what, it just isn't worth it. But I do think a lot of these guys look at this and say, well, if I step away from football, I'm giving up the thing I love, and what are my other options? So they're willing to take the risk.
Mike, do they know? You obviously do. And with listeners, sometimes it gets fogged over by the NFL, who has a huge stake in this. It's not so much counting up the number of known concussions you've had. It's the many concussions, particularly with linemen who don't even know that. That adds up, you know, it might be thousands of times over a career.
Yeah, you're 100% right about that. I mean, there's still so much to learn yet about what exactly causes CTE. And we know it's repeated brain trauma, but to what degree and how does it manifest itself in each individual? I mean, and this is something that obviously doesn't just touch on football. It includes soccer, particularly at the youth levels. It includes ice hockey, where guys are getting body checked and you know, their brain pan is getting rattled around every time they get hit. I mean, in football is probably the most egregious.
Yeah, but Mike, I've been at courtside in basketball. Boy, and there's nothing like seeing Allen Iverson come at a guy scared to death. He's going to blow by him. You're actually down on the field, though, to see this at ground level. I've been on an elevator with John Runyon. When he got off, it was like moving a refrigerator. What is it like? What would you analogize it to listeners, the level of what that is like when the ball snapped in an NFL game?
I would say a dozen to two dozen small car crashes on any particular play.
Wow.
That's a metaphor that's been used before, and I think it's the most accurate one. I mean, these guys are so big and so fast and so strong and in such a confined space. You know, they're getting bigger, but the field of play is not. So the impacts get more profound. And the other thing you have to keep in mind too, Dom, is the equipment is so strong that these guys feel like they're wearing armor, so
right.
that they are geared up to make what they think can be an even bigger impact because they think they won't feel it because the padding is so good.
Yeah, that's why rugby, these guys don't seem to have the same level. They're pretty big guys, and they crash into each other. They're not all padded up.
Yeah, that's 100% true, and there's been some discussion, at least among people who cover the sport, as to whether if you change the equipment, will it make a difference? That's why college and NFL coaches and youth coaches talk about learning, teaching how to tackle properly at the youth and high school levels, so that you keep the impact as far away from the head as possible. But I think the nature of football is such that you're going to get these repeated head collisions no matter what you try.
Yeah, and the high school numbers. So you have children, Mike. My guys were basketball players, as I was, so it wasn't an issue to have to consider. Seeing what you've seen, what would you say to your son if he wanted to play high school football?
Well, I think at the lower levels, I might be a little more open to it, because from the available data,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like that there is as great a chance of CTE and the really bad stuff that could happen. That seems from the data to become more prevalent at the higher levels of the game. But having said that, I've written stories about high school and middle school kids who have sustained concussions and been dealing with it, for years afterwards. So if one of my two boys wanted to play and they're 6 and 3 and it's not a thought right now, I would really have to give it some long, hard thinking. I know what my wife would say. She would say absolutely not.
Yeah, and we're seeing more and more of that. Now, I still watch. My fallback in the front of my mind, maybe not as much, though, is that these guys now have knowledge ability. In the past, they did not. I don't know that they really have knowledge ability, though. It's a more subtle thing. I think the risk is enormous. And you do write, too, about a guy who might even get concussed during a game. Malcolm Jenkins stayed in. If I were playing, I played with a broken ankle once until I threw up and they had to take me out, basketball. So I'd probably stay in too, but this stuff frightens me. If you walk with a limp when you're done, so what? The rest of your life, you can live with that. This, you can't.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And it's those two, you cited the kind of two pressures. One is from within the athlete himself,
mm-hmm.
to not let his teammates down, to try to win the game. That's what Malcolm Jenkins cited, back in 2015 when he had a concussion in a game against the Cowboys. It was a big game. He didn't want to tell anybody. He wanted to help his team win. The other pressure is an athlete also knows that if he pulls himself out of a game because he's had a concussion or thinks he's had a concussion, then the guy who comes in may take his spot. NFL players don't have guaranteed contracts. They
Right.
are the most disposable of any pro athlete. So they don't want to give the organization they're playing for any reason to even think about getting rid of them, because it puts their career at risk. So, you've got a lot of pressures here, a lot of things that an athlete's trying to deal with. And I think these guys, if you ask them, would say, hey, I just want as much accurate information as possible so that I can make my own decisions. And they say they'll live with the consequences, but they're saying that now at age 25, 26, 27. I wonder how their minds would change, at age 48, 49, 50.
Yeah, I wonder if there's going to be somebody who's the face of it. Brady, there was some rumblings that he said how many times he was concussed. If you see Brady 10 years from now, like Jim McMahon, former Eagles quarterback mm-hmm. and Bears quarterback is, that is the type of moment where something might change. But let me ask you personally, you make your living, you cover all sports, but doing something like this, how do you feel about that? Kaepernick hurt the NFL. This does not hurt the NFL.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the sport is so big and so popular that people simply suspend their disbelief when it comes to this stuff. They say to themselves, I love it. I've always loved it. I know this information is out there. I know these findings are out there. But if these guys are willing to take the risk, then I'm going to watch the
mm-hmm.
sport. I think it's going to, and in some ways you could cite history going back to the early 20th century where football was far more brutal. The number of people who actually died playing football was actually far higher then than it is now. So we can kind of rationalize it that way that, the sport was more brutal then and than it
mm-hmm.
is now. But we're going to learn more and more about this. And it's something I think about all the time. I kind of weigh it, I waited Tuesday when that news came down. Like, should I write a column about how Carson Wentz is going to play this season at quarterback, or is this more important? Is it more important to highlight this study and say, hey, we love the Eagles and we love football, but there may be a cost to this?
Did you get, what kind of reaction? Do you ever get people saying, come on now, we don't want to hear about this. We're fans. We just want to know about the third string quarterback from the Canadian League, you know?
Yeah, you do get that feedback. But you do get a sizable amount of people who email you or, you know, post something on social media saying, hey, you know, I'm reevaluating football and, you know, how popular it is and whether I should let my son play and all the things that we've been talking about. I do think that the more that information like this comes out, people are starting to rethink things.
Now, look, I love Carson Wentz, and I think you've written well about him, too. On so many levels, this was genius. You know, these other idiots that didn't draft him, number one, it's becoming pretty obvious. His faith, though, is very outward. You know, he's not Tim Tebow, and he's much better. But how's that playing out, Mike? So far, I don't see any controversy around it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, Dom, where I think there are a number of players in the locker room who share his faith and share his commitment to it, so they don't have much of an issue with it. And I do think that because he's the starting quarterback, the number two overall pick, and the prospective savior of the franchise, that even if there were guys in the locker room, and I'm sure there are, who would kind of like him to stop proselytizing and just play ball and not speak about God so much, they're not going to say anything right now because they perceive him to be the golden boy.
Does he do it that much? I mean, I've seen the cleats. I've seen that. I've seen some of the things, including wide receivers who can't play golf that the Inquirer wrote about that he took out. But does he talk about it a good bit?
Here and there when he gets asked. I mean, when he gets asked about it, and sometimes he, you know, if he has a good game, you know, it's kind of that stereotype of athletes. We've seen it all the time. The first words out of his mouth are, you know, I just want to give glory to God, which is a common thing among athletes in football, you know, of all stripes, of all sports. So, as I said, nobody's stepped forward and said, you know, I don't like this. And he's certainly not wearing it on his sleeve to the degree that, say, Tim Tebow did. You know, so we'll see how it plays out. I mean, I think, you know, as I said, I think at this point, if there are guys in the locker room who have a big issue with it, they're probably keeping their mouth shut because they know that Carson is the center of the franchise, and it's not going to look too good for them to be criticizing the centerpiece of the franchise for any reason.
Exactly. Mike, when does your column appear?
I'm heading on down to practice now, so I'll have one. It'll be online this afternoon, usually Tuesdays, Thursdays, Sundays.
And today, do you know what you're writing about?
I'm going to go and see what is going on there, I think. You know, they made some moves yesterday. They cut Marcus Smith, who had been their first-round pick a couple years ago. They traded away an offensive lineman, so they're going to give some younger guys a chance. There are some fairly interesting storylines today.
Good stuff, Mike. Thank you, as always. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime, Dom. Thank you.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.